On the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doug Kirby.
We've got something very special for the Sunday before Valentine's Day this year, an opportunity to talk to Herman Eben, who has served in executive management roles for over 40 years in the business arena. In 1998, he co-founded GRATE, that's G-R-8, Solutions Group. His world was devastated in 1991 when he found out his wife, Louie, was having an affair. It was a slap in the face that woke him up to bad news about himself, his wife, and their relationship, and his relationship with God. He is here today to talk about a new series of books, 8 books from the Great Relationship series. And the two that we're going to talk about today, book 1, How Did This Happen to Me? And book 4, What Happened to Us?
That's right.
Herman, thank you so much for making time to talk to us today.
You are so welcome. I love talking about this information. It's so great to be able to hopefully help people in their relationships.
So we'll back up the tape a little bit and talk about that in 1991. 10 years before that, you had a wake-up call when you felt that God was calling you to greater and deeper service.
That's right, especially looking at my life from the viewpoint of, did I really love Louie like God wanted me to? Those are some of the things that showed up in the early 1980s. That happened more than once, to say the least, to recognize that, you know, I just looking at my life, I probably was not, and it was obvious that I wasn't by the time I came to the wake-up call in 1991, that's for sure.
What happened in 91 was an earth-shattering sort of event, and a lot of marriages, when they find out about infidelity, turn into a boxing match, and you guys were wise enough to realize that the problem that we have here did not develop overnight, and it's as a result of a lot of things that were happening in your life, in your wife's life, and in your relationship together. You're pretty candid about that in your books. Did you go to counseling? Did you go to your pastor? How exactly did you start working your way back to having a solid relationship?
Our background, our family system was a big component of that from the viewpoint of our commitment to marriage. Both of us were committed to the marriage, but obviously when something like this happens, there is a lot of bad feelings. I can certainly remember how difficult it was for me to discover what had happened, and it was imperative that we relied on counseling. I called the pastor of our church, Dr. Fred Librand, and we had been doing a family series called Hope for the Family with Dr. Marlon Howe. So Dr. Librand got a hold of Dr. Howe, and he became a central figure in Louie and I's life for the next 10 years, literally. His impact was so vital in the information that he provided that it created in me a desire to go further with this whole relationships mindset and develop this great relationship series. So yes, it was imperative that we had counseling. It was just vital. In fact, one of the really interesting things that he said that I didn't want to believe is couples deserve each other. Think about that. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, Louie's all screwed up, but he's going, couples deserve each other. You know, you tend to marry somebody that has similar emotional mindset that you do. And that was really difficult for me because I think I do everything right. So, for me to look at Louie and blame her for everything, it was really completely wrong, because marriages are a system and you impact each other, and you have a mind that says, I'm doing everything right and you aren't, but in reality, you're impacting each other. And that's what's so important for us to recognize about the way relationships work. And that's a lot of the type of thing that's in this great relationships material. But yes, that was a very difficult time in 1991. That was a very difficult time on both of us.
There was a kind of a mantra that goes along with this. Is your me flashing? In other words, we tend to make everything about ourselves. Why is this happening to me? have I done anything wrong? It seems like everything that's wrong is on the other person. There was a poster I remember seeing in a Sunday school class years and years ago when I first started teaching adult Sunday schools. It was something along the line of, great oaks are not taken down by huge events. They are taken down by the ants.
Yeah, good statement. Yeah, because of allowing things into our family system that impacts our thinking, and we don't think like God wants us to think. One of the things that is so prominent in the way that we see relationships working is having expectations on another person. Now, just think about that. Wouldn't that be okay to have an expectation on somebody? Well, yeah, expectations can be good, but unfortunately, what expectations most often lead to is you focusing on their behavior rather than your own. And that is so, so detrimental to a relationship. All you do is focus on what they're doing wrong rather than standing before God and saying, what is it that I need to be doing differently? How am I supposed to be living life and pursuing their best in spite of the fact that they're not doing it with me? That is tough, isn't it, when you think about it?
Yeah, when you first discovered that your wife was essentially stuffing down her emotions and covering them up with alcohol, and then that had become an overwhelming problem for her, but it became an overwhelming problem for the both of you. And it wasn't just her problem because she was drinking. The problem was, why aren't we talking to each other? Why aren't we being honest with each other? And that leads to all the other stuff that goes on.
So, so true. I mean, when you don't have truth in a relationship, you don't have a very good foundation to build on. It's a very, very shaky foundation when you're not sharing things with each other as it relates to how you are seeing the relationship and how you think it's well and it's not well, just because you're not sharing things with each other. And of course, one of the things that Dr. Howe said, and it's so, so true, whenever drugs and alcohol are part of a relationship, you know, all bets are off. Things just don't work. You would think that it would work in this logical way, but it doesn't when drugs and alcohol enter the picture, because it causes such a life of living a fantasy rather than reality so often.
It's such a disruptor. It disrupts your mental facilities, your faculties. It disrupts relationships. It disrupts reality. And in contrast, what you leaned on then and what you write about in your books, that God has to be in our marriage for our marriage to be as rich as we want it to be and as secure as we need it to be. Even people who have dedicated themselves to following Christ, if they don't actually bring him into it, then they're really sort of fans of Jesus. They're not followers of him. And I think it's easy to fall into that if we are not really conscientious about saying, this decision that we're making, is God in it? Does this forward the kingdom of God? Even if it just seems like it's going to affect the two of you and your and maybe your children, it has ramifications far beyond just the single unit, right?
Right, absolutely. I love that statement, fans, not followers. That makes all the sense in the world. You know, if you're a fan, you really aren't believing who God really is. You aren't putting into practice what he's asking you to do. You're actually probably doing it for your own benefit, that flashing me mindset. Everything's about me.
Yeah.
And of course, that's where our society is. Everything's about me. I have all these things in Jesus too. You know, that's how it tends to operate with our walk with the Lord. You can't classify that necessarily a walk with the Lord, but I guess you could in some form or fashion. But yeah, you know, too often we are fans of his, but we don't have a relationship with him. And we don't have the thinking that he is asking us to have.
Once again, it goes back, and I love your phrase too, is your me flashing? If it's going to be all about you, then you don't have room for the two of you, for you and God, to be in charge. Somebody has to be in charge, and if it's always going to be what's in it for me, then you're not letting God be in charge.
Yeah, in fact, that's what's so interesting about whenever we counsel somebody or I counsel somebody, is I throw so much stuff at them in our first session, you know, about forgiveness and confession and all these other things. And at some point, I bring out, you know, hey, we've got 32 courses online, more than 500 videos. We've got more than 200 TV shows. We've got more than 120 podcasts. And I can tell you everything you need to know in 10 seconds. Are you ready? And so, you know, obviously most of them go, well, yeah. And I say, yeah, here it is. There's a problem in every relationship. You make everything about yourself. The solution for every relationship is pursue the best for others, patiently, kindly, sacrificially, and unconditionally. And so I pause a little bit and I say, so go and be healed.
And it really is as simple and as profound as that, isn't it?
It really is. And so when I then say to them, I say, so why don't you get up and leave? And they laugh and provide a variety of different statements. And I say, here's what I really believe is the reason you don't get up and leave. You don't believe that. Like, I don't believe it. Why do we need 500 videos and 32 courses to talk about this if it really is that simple? Because you got to have all these other details to prove that you really don't believe that until you see how all of this stuff works together. You don't believe God's word. That's really what it boils down to in such simplicity. God has given it to us. We just don't believe it.
Right. Because we want it to be complicated, and we also don't want to have to change. We want somebody else to do the changing, and because
so
we figure we're just fine. Thanks for asking.
True.
Yeah.
That is one of the typical things that I do also that seems to be very beneficial when a couple is sitting there and talking. I'll say, just point your fingers at each other, and I'll ask one of them to say, as they're pointing their finger at their spouse or their partner, if you would just change, I'd be happy. So they say that. Then I say to the other person, okay, I want you to say the same thing to them. If you would just change, I'd be happy. Now I want both of you to say it to each other at the same time. If you would just change, I'd be happy. And of course, it causes laughing. At the same time, I say, that's really true, isn't it? It's so simple again. If you would just change, I'd be happy. I don't want to change. I'm doing everything right. You're the one that screwed up, not me.
That's just human nature, isn't it? That is our sin,
it sure
nature,
is.
The old Adam, the old Eve.
Yeah.
Hey, it was their fault.
That's right. You know,
she's the one that gave me the apple.
Yep.
You know,
that's right.
And so, really, everything that we can learn about relationships between men and women can really go back to Genesis 2 and 3, because we see the template set there that originally, before sin, everything was great. And once sin came into the world, everything was complicated. And people let each other down, and people let themselves down, and people neglected their walk with God.
Yeah. In fact, that's a common phrase that you hear in so many relationship situations, in movies or in books, or you'll often hear the phrase, well, our relationship is complex. Well, no, it really isn't. It's not complex at all. You're just not willing to serve them. You just want them to serve you. That's really what it boils down to. You make it complex when you make life about yourself. That's really how it tends to happen most of the time.
And to a certain extent, even when we're dating the person that we eventually marry, we certainly start out with the attitude of, what will this person, having this person in my life, add to my enjoyment of life?
Yep. You know? Yep.
And and for sometimes we get a little out of our own comfort zone and say, gee, I'd really like to build a better life together with this person, but run into the rocks a couple times and you'll start saying, because I can tell you, I was a bivocational pastor for 29 years, and nobody came to the altar to get married thinking, I'm going to split up because of something stupid.
They
all came starry-eyed and, oh, we're going to be in love forever.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can counsel them ahead of time and say, well, okay, you've each been married before. Mm-hmm. What broke up those first marriages for each of you? You know, well, they did this, they did that.
I said, yeah.
Okay. Do you take any responsibility for any of that? Oh, no, no, no. It was all of them. I said, then you're going to have problems in this marriage, too.
Amen to that. That is a great statement.
Yeah. And once again, going back to what you said really at the very beginning, we all want to think everything's fine about us, and all the problem is with the other person.
That's right. There's a little phrase that I also like to use, which is when you first get to know somebody, you give them maximum grace. By the time you get engaged, you're giving them less grace, and when you're standing at the altar, you're giving them no grace. It doesn't quite work that way, but it does follow that pattern. That's what tends to happen. I've really loved to ask people, so why do you think we give people less grace the more we get to know them? Because we focus more on their warts. We focus more on their faults. We don't focus more on their strengths.
Yeah.
And we therefore give them less grace. But we want them to give us maximum grace, right?
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair in this, as a guy, I can tell you that I know that the way we are, and when our wife starts to get not quite as stunning as she was when we first started dating her, after she's given us children, we start thinking, gee, you know, honey's looking like she needs to go to the gym more often or something. Oh, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm good. But, you know, she sure does need to do this or that. Out of those little ants are mighty oaks felled.
No kidding.
You know?
That is so good. That sure is. Man, there is so much that is simple in this material that we can make relationships better, but we certainly make it complex because we don't want to believe what God says. That's really what it boils down to, as you said earlier. Yeah. It really is true.
Now, there's 8 books in the series, and we've talked about 2 of them, which are excellent books. How Did This Happen to Me and What Happened to Us? And the solution in both of those is really, what am I looking for? Why am I thinking just about me in this situation? What is God doing in this situation? As followers of Christ, that should be our first thought. What is God doing here? Is he trying to teach me a lesson? And what is that lesson that I need to be learning? Do I need to be more patient? Do I need to be more compassionate, whatever it takes? The other books in the series, what are the other books in the series?
Let me talk real briefly about book 1, because it really gives you kind of an overview of most of the really important things. All the books in the series are standalones, and yet at the same time, they work with each other also. Book 1 is talking about, you know, who's to blame, what's the problem, what's the solution, and then it goes into some really important things about your feelings. Where do your feelings come from? How does that work? Then it talks about freedom, forgiveness, and confession. What we have learned is that the 2 most important tools for any relationship is forgiveness and confession. But if you don't understand where your feelings are coming from and how freedom works in a relationship, you're probably not going to forgive and confess as easily. So that basic item there in book 1 really does lay out some really important issues, and it steps into the whole item of how your feelings work and freedom and forgiveness, the forgiveness process and the confession process. So book 1 is really important from getting kind of an overview of some of the really important items. Book 2 is talking about, did you choose the right path? There is a common phrase that we use, you're either going to trust God or you're going to trust something other than God. We call that the fundamental choice or fundamental question in life. And that is a really important book from the viewpoint of helping you recognize that you may be on the wrong path here. You're probably trusting in yourself rather than thinking about what is God's way as opposed to your own way. So that's a critical book. Book three is something that is all about God's image, and this is something that is that I got from Dr. Marlon Howe. Other theologians, he was one, believe this, but it's not broadly thought about from the viewpoint that you could probably take the image of God and tie it to the concept of maleness and femaleness. Otherwise, in other words, powerful and relational, as you can see in Genesis chapter 1. And we explain how that tends to work. And if you accept that, you can see why marriage is so important, because a woman is designed to be more relational and a man is designed to be more powerful. And when the two come together, it is the best representation of the image of God. So that gives you a little sense of what's going on in those books. What Happened to Us is, again, a really important book from the viewpoint of it talks about the image of God, it talks about the judgments and the designs of men and women, which we really need nowadays.
So more so than ever.
More so than ever, yeah. So books 5, 6, and 7, what damages relationships, the judgments are so key. And this is why we call them the unknown judgments. I've not ever heard a sermon, doesn't mean it's not out there, doesn't mean other people don't already preach the same type of thing, but the way that the judgments in Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, play out in everyday life is just amazing to me. And that is something that I'll leave for a future conversation, but it is amazing. If you understand the designs of men and women, you'll understand why these judgments show up every day in practically every relationship. And if you're not doing relationships God's way, these judgments are making relationships horrible. Then the book 6 is about the S word, about submission, how important that is, and it'll be different than what you think it is, let me tell you. Book 7, the problem that destroys relationships, making everything about yourself. And then book 8, the solution, which is our definition of love, which is pursuing the best for others, patiently, kindly, sacrificially, and unconditionally. Because love is a decision, it's not an emotion. So that's flew 50,000 foot view over all of these books. And fortunately, all of this material is online on greatrelate.com, great, and then GR, the number 8, relate.com. All of it is in video format, so you can get all the information. And obviously, we'd love for you to buy the books, too.
Absolutely. And they're not big books, either. So,
That's right. They're written for small groups, by the way. They're written so they can be used in small groups. And my editor did a phenomenal job in throwing in scenarios to think about and questions to ask based on that scenario to apply the information. So it's better than what I ever wrote, I'll put it that way.
That's what a good editor is supposed to do. That's awesome.
It's so true. It's sort of like my marketing manager, Tina Jacobson. She sent an email to some of our original donors and said, Herman wrote this 550-page book, pause, and nobody read it. Go figure, using some of the old language, go figure.
I like the fact that the series, the average length of them is about 90 pages. There are some, it's also some guideline pages in What Happened to Us. You've got 6 guidelines when confessing, 51 relationship principles, conflict resolve blueprint, meeting guidelines, love's current reality. All these are at the end of the book. So you read the book and you'll find out that it is loaded with scripture, that nothing here is just, well, I think this is the way it is. Instead, it's this is the way it is because God's word says this about human relations or about our sin nature, et cetera, et cetera. So these are really easy to read. in the sense that it's not a theological discussion, but they're also difficult to read because it's going to say the problem is more complicated than you think it is, but the solution is not as complicated as you're hoping it is. The solution is put yourself second or third rather than putting yourself first.
So true. Yeah, of the first books that we put out, which is book one and four, which you mentioned, you know, how did this happen to me and what happened to us? People seem to like what happened to us, and they get too convicted when reading how did this happen to me.
I can imagine. Well, now I know we mentioned your website, Great Relate, and that's GR8Relate.com. Herman is also on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram. So you can find them, whatever social media, you're going to be able to find a connection.
Yeah.
Herman, is there anything else that you had hoped that I would ask you that I neglected to do so?
Well, there's plenty of things.
Okay.
But nevertheless, the most important thing is, since you wanted this for Valentine's, the issue that we tend to think about with Valentine's is whether somebody else is loving us. Let's have a different mindset. Are you loving them whether they love you or not? Mm. That's how God operates with us. Yeah. He does what's right for us. We may not appreciate it, but He is always pursuing our best. So the best opportunity that we can have for Valentine's Day is, am I going to pursue their best no matter how they are treating me? Because that's how God does with us.
Mm. Well said, sir. It's been a great privilege today to talk to Herman Eben and about his new series that's come out. The first two books, How Did This Happen to Me and What Happened to Us? They are from Equip Press. And the other six books in the series are on the way, and you can find them wherever books are sold, online or at your favorite bookstore. And if you would look at your favorite local bookstore first, that'd be a great thing.
Yeah, we have all six books. Two are coming out this month in January of 2024. The other two are coming out, and you can buy all six of those on the website also.
Excellent. Excellent. Herman, thank you so much for making time to talk to us today.
Thank you, Doc. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Our thanks once again to Herman Eben, who is the author of a new series from Equip Press, and you can find that on their more information about it on their website, GR8, that's the numerical symbol, 8relate.com. The series includes the first two books of an eight-book series, How Did This Happen to Me and What Happened to Us? And the others will be coming out. As a matter of fact, by the time this airs, most of the others will already be released. So look for them at your favorite bookstore or online. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Bookshelf. Thanks for listening to my podcast on thebookshelf.podbean.com. We'll see you next time right here on your favorite radio station and favorite podcast. Until then, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirk. Thanks for listening, and God bless.